Philippians. That's loud. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Talk about prayer tonight. Had a good time talking about prayer this morning with the guys. That was good. Jesus said his Father's house would be called a house of prayer. And see some things about prayer tonight. Hopefully, I learned some things. Sometimes, I don't know if you feel this way. You feel like you're just saying prayers, but you're not actually praying. Or you're just saying prayers. You know, there is a difference. There's a difference. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All right, let's pray, and we'll talk about prayer tonight. Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for... Well, thank you for last night, an opportunity to go up to San Antonio. Thank you for getting Brother Peacock over to Bez's place and just an opportunity to go up there and hear him last night. What a blessing. And I do lift up Drina. I pray that you would continue to use these treatments to heal up her body. Pray you'd give them grace through all this and the help that they need. Lord, same with Barry and Nancy and Lord, all the treatments Barry's going through. Pray that you would heal up his body. I pray you'd comfort them, give them grace, safety as they're traveling back and forth from Houston. And Lord, just make the provisions that are needed there. Father, thank you for each soul that's here tonight. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. I pray that you'd help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said and take these words and apply them where they need to be applied. And I pray and I thank you, Lord, for your words. And I do pray that you'd help us tonight because we need your help. We desperately need help. I thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This Philippian church. Remember some of the background here. So the Philippians they're in Macedonia and they are facing trouble without and within. He said, fears without, fightings within. And Paul said, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This was one of the thoughts that comes to mind when I read this, is this contrast that Paul makes, really the Holy Spirit makes through Paul, about prayer and the difference between somebody saying a prayer and someone actually praying. You understand if people say prayers on a regular basis, and not Christians, not Bible-believing people, but all different religions have prayers. And they say prayers, but that doesn't mean any praying is actually happening. It doesn't mean God is getting involved. It doesn't mean there's any appeal to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. There's not really anything going on where God is choosing to involve himself in that activity, whatever it is. But people are saying prayers. And I mean, you go over to China or a place like that, and they got the prayer wheels. There's prayer beads. People have beads. Buddhists have beads. Catholics have beads. There's a difference between saying a prayer and actually praying to God and having God hear you and do something about what you're saying. And so Paul says to a church that has a lot of care and anxiety and fear and worry and concern, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Cares in this life don't necessarily put people before God. I mean, you would like to think that people get in trouble where you get in trouble, and that automatically you run to God when you're in trouble. That's not true. Sometimes people's cares drive them away from God. And it's the cares that keep them from having faith in the Lord. For instance, here's Mary and Martha. And here's Mary, and she's around the feet of Jesus. And Martha, and Jesus Christ says, "Thou art careful." Meaning you're worried, you're anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. And so the cares didn't drive her to Jesus Christ. They were actually the hindrance from her getting to Jesus Christ. And like he says over there in one of the parables, talks about the cares of this world. That's something that didn't drive someone to the throne of grace. That's something that kept them from going to the throne of grace. And I mention that because prayer in these verses is the alternative to being anxious and fretting and worrying. And so if someone has gone to the throne of grace and said a prayer and then walked away from the throne of grace still carrying that anxiety and that worry, in these verses it looks like you haven't really dropped any cares off at the throne. So he said, be careful for nothing. Notice the contrast. Be careful for nothing, but, there's the contrast, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So to be careful, you're just full of care, you're worried, fretting, anxious, nervous. And the idea is, just because you've said a prayer doesn't mean you've actually prayed. I am guilty of that. I am guilty of taking out a list and thinking in my mind the whole time, I need to get through this so I can get on with the next part of my day. And so I get through the list, and my thought process is, get this part of my day done so I can get to the next part of my day. And you know what? That's not praying. That may be saying words, but that's not actually getting a hold of God's throne and inviting Him to be a part of anything. That's just going through the motions, and it's really no different than anybody else we would say has a prayer wheel or prayer beads. You're just saying things and then going on about your day. There is a difference between saying prayers and actually praying. And you know what the difference in this verse is? Where do the cares get dropped off? So here's what the Lord says over in 1 Peter 5:7. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What does that mean? If I cast my care upon Him, that probably means I have to let go of my care. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, I would have to let go of it. It's like this. I used to have some drivers that worked for me over at Oldfield and all that stuff, and you'd load them up with their load that they're going to a rig with, and or wherever they're going, to another warehouse or something. You load them up, and you put the burden on the truck, and you send it on. And it's almost like they would drive to the location with the burden that they have on that truck, and then turn around and drive back to the warehouse with the same burden they got on the truck. And you would look at them like, why didn't you leave that there? Well, that's prayer. How did you go to the throne and cast your care on an almighty God and then leave the throne room with the same care you just had? Is there actually praying going on, or are you just saying words? And I'm afraid we say words without actually casting our care upon Him and bringing those cares before the throne of grace. And so what we do is we have this care, and we say, Lord, look at this care. I've got this thing and I'm carrying it around and it's a big burden. Can you do something about it? All right, see you later. And I carry it back with me. I mean, what am I doing with this? And so it is the difference in these verses between saying a prayer and praying is what happens to the care after you've talked to God. And it's not like a magic bullet and you say this one prayer and all your cares go away. You know what? They'll be back tomorrow. But I'm saying if you're actually praying according to these verses, Paul said, quit being anxious and worrying and fretting over things. Instead, pray. And I wonder how many pills have been taken, how many joints have been smoked, how many beers have been drunk because someone was worried and failed to pray. And so what they're doing is that they're trying to help all this nervous energy and worry and fret. But how many of those things are being done because of people's just prayerlessness? They don't pray. First thing is this. Prayer is an exchange for care. That's what you see in that verse. It's an exchange. He says, quit being careful for everything. Quit worrying about it. Here's the solution. Pray. And not just say prayers. Take your burden to the throne of grace and leave it there. Let the Lord do something with it. If you actually believe He can do something with it, let Him do something with it. Biblical prayer, it's an exchange. It's made at the throne of grace. My requests, my desires, my fears, my anxiety, my cares get placed before the throne of God. And God replaces all that care, as you see in verse 7, with His peace. He says, all right, you've brought me this burden. I can handle the burden. You give me the burden. Here's my peace. Now you go away with my peace. Now, if you're not saved, you're not going to know about the peace of God through Jesus Christ. You need to get saved first. But in these verses, you're dealing with saved people who are anxious, who are nervous, who are fretting, who are worried, who are concerned, and they have probably legitimate reasons to be. And Paul says, you know what the solution to all this fretting and worrying and anxious energy is? You guys need to start praying. What is it? Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. Understand the difference? Calls me from a world. Here, it says, I don't know what number it is in the book. Sweet hour of prayer, calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. You know what that is? That's an exchange. I went to the throne and I brought this care and I brought this worry and I brought this anxiety to the throne, and the Lord said, let me have that. Now you go back with this. It's not a magic bullet. It's not a once in a lifetime thing. The cares will be there tomorrow, but it is an exchange. There is something changing places here, and I would challenge you. If you're going to the throne of grace and you're not finding peace after saying prayers, you're not praying. You're saying prayers. And you're not leaving any burdens there. You're carrying the same burden you brought up there. You're carrying it back. You're not getting anything out of this relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Prayer is an exchange for your care. Now, I imagine prayer life, praying, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And the devil will convince you that praying is just not worth your time and not worth your effort. You know what? I'm just telling you a little bit of the way thoughts enter into my mind, and I'm sure that's the same with you. When you think about praying, and I think about, okay, I need to get this done, and I need to get this done, and I need to get this done. You know what crowds out a prayer life? The cares of this world. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if I spend an hour in prayer, you know, that's going to take away from this, and that's going to take away from this, and that's going to take away from this, and I got to get this done. And that is the devil explaining and convincing me that praying to an almighty God is a worthless endeavor and just something to be done. You know, if I have time, I have time. If I don't have time, I don't have time. How many times do we say, I don't have time for this, or I can't do that because I've got X going on? You know, I can't make it to this because of this going on. You know what we probably never say is, I don't have time for this because I need to pray. And you know what? Of all things in the Bible, prayer is one of the most important things God sets out in the Bible. It is the way you communicate with God Almighty. And so prayer is an exchange. He says to the Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Notice that but. Comparing, contrasting. Don't do this, do this. Second thing, he says, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, prayer is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. God invites prayers. He invites his people to pray. He invites people to come before the throne. It's an open door. It's an invitation for God to get involved. Over there and I tell you what, look over in Luke chapter 11. I'll show you something about this, about prayer as an invitation. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Luke 11, around, look at verse 1, and then we'll jump to verse 5, about prayer as an opportunity. Says, and it came to pass, Luke 11:1, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. All right, skip down to verse 5, because he's teaching them how to pray here. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he just keeps at it, because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. All right, here's the contrast Jesus Christ is making. He says, all right, when you pray, imagine this. Here's a friend, and he goes to another friend's house. He needs some bread. It's late. Everybody's in bed. He knocks on the door. The friend says, I need some bread. You got any bread? And the other one's in bed, and he says, man, we're all got our pajamas on. I don't want to get up. Just, you know, do it tomorrow. I really need the bread. I need it tonight. I mean, he's coming in. I need it now. Just, and then the other friend, you know, is just, come on, man, just give us some time and just let it go for a few hours and we'll do it tomorrow. And then, can you get the bread? I mean, just, it's this loaf of bread. Just, and finally he says, okay, fine, I'll get out of bed and get you the bread. That's importunity. The comparison is, God is not the friend sitting in bed. He's not waiting for you to come begging. He is a father. He's not. Your prayer life doesn't require importunity to get a hold of God. I've heard some people preach like, oh, we got to have importunity in prayer. No, the importunity is someone being obnoxious, trying to get a hold of their friend. And God's saying, I'm not the friend in bed. I am your father. I want you to come to me. I have made a way through Jesus Christ for you to come to me. And now think of it this way. God has made, you know, Jesus Christ dies on the cross, the veil of the temple is rent in twain, open access, God the Father through Jesus Christ. Now imagine this. Here is the creator of the universe who opens his doors wide for anyone to come in the name of Jesus Christ and bear their burden and bear their soul and get relief from the throne of grace. He opens those throne room doors wide open. And what does he find? Nobody's interested in coming in. That's the picture. I make this way for you to get in, and there's no interest here. It's no wonder there's such powerlessness in our Christianity. It's just that there's no interest in getting hold of the throne of God. He opens the doors wide open. You know, open those doors. Let's let the folks come in. And he puts the grand opening sign and all that stuff. And then there's no business. Nobody's interested. I mean, and if that's a description of your prayer life, hopefully this helps you a little bit. Prayer is an opportunity. He says, this is the opportunity to make your request known. You know what the difference between God and all these other idols people are praying to? It? God actually hears and cares. All these other idols can't hear or do anything about what you're saying. They don't have ears. You might be able to whittle some ears out of some wood and call it a god, but that piece of wood can't hear you. That piece of plastic doesn't know what you're talking about. That thing's just an inanimate object. It may have a face on it, but it doesn't know what you're saying. God, on the other hand, is a living God who created you and then redeemed your soul and then opened those courtroom and that throne room wide open and said, you come to me, call on me, I will answer. Make your request known. Prayer is an opportunity. It's an opportunity and an invitation for God to move. The Bible is full of prayers and answered prayers. And prayer, literally, it changes the course of events. Not because the power of the prayer, but because the power of God to change the course of events. And prayer is the invitation for God to move. I give you a couple of them. So here's Elijah. Elijah back there in the Old Testament. Elijah prays that it wouldn't rain in Israel 3.5 years. And then what happens? Doesn't rain for 3.5 years. Now you know what happened if Elijah hadn't prayed that? That weather would have just been the weather. And then 3.5 years later, Elijah prays that it will rain. And you know what happens? It rains. You know what the implication is? If Elijah hadn't prayed, none of that would have happened. Elijah goes up there on Mount Carmel. All the devil worshiping priests and all that stuff are trying to get fire to come down from heaven, and they're not getting any answers. And Elijah prays. He gets down on his knees and he prays and he says, "All right, Lord, show them who you are." And the fire comes down and it It burns up the water. It burns up the altar. It burns up the stones. It burns up the wood. It burns up everything. But you know what wouldn't have happened if Elijah hadn't asked God to do that? None of that would have happened. You know what God's looking for? Somebody to invite him into their life to do something. Prayer is an opportunity. There's Daniel. You go over to James, and the Bible says of Elijah, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means? Elijah wasn't a comic book character. He wasn't a god. He was a man. And that's all he was. But he was a man who could get a hold of God because he could pray. Prayer is the invitation for God to move. It's an open door. It's a door that God has paid for with his blood. The Bible says this, I'll read this one to you. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What are we doing going to the throne of grace, or acting like we're going to the throne of grace and then leaving the throne of grace without finding any help? What are we doing? And are we guilty of what we say everybody else is playing religion? Or is that what we're doing? Just playing religion? Prayer is an opportunity. It's an open door. That door ought to be entered humbly. It ought to be entered gratefully. It ought to be entered cleanly. The difference is, go back to Philippians, the difference is partly how you ask. Back over in Philippians 4. You know, you can make requests different ways. You can make requests different ways. You can make your request in the form of a demand. You can make your request in the form of a complaint. There are different ways to make your request. So the Holy Spirit defines the best way to make a request here. Verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So when God opens that throne room, those doors, that's an invitation for you to get into that throne room and make a request. But there's a good way to enter that throne room to get God's attention, and there's a way to enter that throne room where God won't care what you say. There, he says, with prayer and supplication. What is supplication? That's a supply. That's a need. I have a need, and God is my provider. What he's going to say later on in Philippians 4, he says, "My God shall supply all your need." That's supplication. I'm going to the supplier. So you make requests. You enter that courtroom. Enter it humbly. You enter it gratefully. You enter it cleanly. We were looking at some things this morning about prayer. And here's Israel in the Old Testament. And they're all complaining about one thing or another. And I know that's so foreign. We've never done that. It's so different. So they're all complaining. And Moses, they go to Moses. And Moses asks God to intervene. And because Moses asks God to intervene, God listens. What he doesn't want to hear is a bunch of complainers. And he's tired of listening to the complainers, because when you enter the courts with complaining, he's not as interested in your request as entering the courts with thanksgiving. And so when people are... I imagine in your home, if it's been raining and there's mud outside. I imagine if people have been outside running through the mud, you might say, take your shoes off before you come in. You know why? Because you want a clean house. You know what God wants? A clean house. Take your shoes off. Enter His courts cleanly. What does He say? Listen to this verse. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Stay clean. God's looking for cleanliness. He says, sometimes you ask for things, and I can't answer your request because all you're asking for is something to appeal to your own pleasure. You're asking so you can consume it. And I'm not interested in your consumption. And so he said, sometimes you ask and you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. You know what that is? That's just entering the courts dirty. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. No. You're not getting it. Go back, learn some manners, and then come back. The difference is how you ask. So he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then lastly is this. The prayer gets answered in verse 7 there. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, what was the problem in verse 6? Care, worry, concern, nervous, fretting. So the answer in verse 7 is, here's the peace of God. You bring your care, I'll take that care, and now I'm going to replace that with some peace. Give me the care. No, give me the care. Let go of the care. Let go of it. Give it to me. Okay, take your hands off of it. Give it to me. All right, now, here's my peace. Now that you've let go of it, now I can put something back in your hands now. But you need to let go of it when you come here. Do you want me to take care of this, or do you not want me to take care of this? Do you want to hold on to this, or do you want me to take care of this? You've come to me, and you've asked, and you've said, Lord, take care of this, and then you walked away with the same burden. Do you really want me to take care of it, or would you rather go home and take care of it yourself? Because it looks like you would rather go home and take care of it yourself. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What is it? It passes all understanding. You know, sometimes my demand and your demand to understand how something's going to work out before you obey God, before you leave it at the throne, is our unbelief at work. Here we are, Lord, you got to show me how this is going to work out. I need to understand what's, you know, if I make this decision to obey you, I need to really know how this is going to affect all my life. The peace that passes understanding. Hey, you don't need to understand how it's going to affect your whole life. You need to just take the steps I'm showing you to take. As you take the steps, you'll learn how this affects your life. Do you trust me or do you not trust me? Because if you trust me, just take the steps I'm showing you to take. Well, Lord, but I don't understand. I mean, if I do this, this may hurt me here. I may lose some money here. I may not be able to do this here. The peace that passes all understanding. Hey, you don't have to understand every detail about this obedience. Just listen to what I'm saying and just follow the next step. I'll take care of what the next step in the path has in store for you. Praying people are confident people. Notice he said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. How does it, what's going on here? Well, somebody came to the throne. They gave up their care. God gave them a peace. I don't know that he made a particular answer or anything, but he did give them peace. And that was the answer. Go back with that. And so praying people are confident people. You ever read through things like Elijah's life, or Elijah had to be a praying man. You know, there's seven miracles recorded in his life, but I imagine he prayed more than seven times. And his praying and his response with God, he must have been so close to the Lord. It's incredible that he would tempt these devil worshipers, these folks, and presume to call fire out of heaven. You ever wonder? I mean, how can a guy like that just show up before a king and say, "Well, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years here"? Why is it not going to rain? Because I prayed about it. What? You know what praying people are? They're confident. You know what? You know what the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when Nebuchadnezzar started lighting the fires to burn those kids up? I mean, kids, they may have been teenagers in the early 20s. He said, "Light those things, make them seven times hotter. Burn these people up. They don't want to worship my God. Burn them up." You know what they said? They said, "We're not careful to answer thee, King. We're not careful." You know what that is? We're not anxious about this. We're not nervous about this. We're not fretting about this. We've got our answer from God. He may save us out of the fire. He may not. But we're not worried about your word, King. And we're not going to worship your God. Your threats don't bring us into a state of anxiety such that we're going to question our God now. They said over there in Daniel 3:16, they said, "We're not careful to answer thee, King." You know what? We're not worried about this. This could have a couple of outcomes. We may burn in the fire. We may not burn in the fire. I don't know. We do know we're not losing our faith in the Lord for your idol. Praying people are confident people. Why? Because that's the answer to the prayer. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I wonder how many minds haven't been kept. Say, you lost your mind. Why, man, you're always so nervous, just anxious about everything, just worried, just consumed with fret. You know, you got to take the medicines, and you got to have a drink every once in a while. You got to smoke every once in a while to get the anxiety out. I wonder how much of that's done because of prayerlessness. People don't get a hold of God, so they got no peace from God. So all that nervous energy still trapped in there. Just, what am I going to do? I've got stuff going on. Just so much stuff going on. So many things I got to worry about. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Here's your care. Here's a prayer. If I walk away from that throne still carrying these burdens that I brought to the throne, you know what I haven't done? I haven't left any cares there. And I probably hadn't prayed. I'm just carrying around those same burdens, and all I'm doing is some religious exercise that didn't benefit me one iota. I'm just going through some motions, and it isn't helping me. I'm just religious. Ah, but those people, they're religious. You know, they just say things, and they're just religious people. We're Bible believers. Really? We're Bible believers who have a God who can't give us peace. We're Bible believers who have a God who doesn't want to hear our prayers, just like some idol who can't hear anything. What makes difference? Because I said I'm a Bible believer, that makes some difference? No, if I'm a Bible believer, I believe the Bible. I believe what God said. I believe. I take my cares to that throne and I leave them there. Yeah, they'll probably be there tomorrow. Yeah, it's not a magic bullet. It's not a silver bullet to end all cares and anxiety for the rest of my life. But at least I'll know after this morning prayer, this noon prayer, this evening prayer, whatever time it is, I've taken my cares to the Lord. I've left them there for now. Yeah, maybe I'll pick them back up tomorrow, but I've left them there for now. He's replaced them with that peace. And now I know I have actually got a hold of God and He's answered this prayer. Hopefully we could, I have learned something from prayer by doing this. I hope you guys have seen something in prayer or through this study, but it's been convicting to think about saying prayers versus actual praying. We say, oh, those Catholics, they just say prayers and they do the beads. You know what Bible believers do? They say prayers and it doesn't do nothing for them. Just say prayers. Just go through and, Lord, do this, Lord, do that, you know, help us with that, help these folks, help that, help that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual, why is it effectual? Well, first, it affects you. It had an effect on you. And because it had an effect on you, you brought it to the Lord and it had an effect on the Lord now. And that thing avails much because the God of all creation chose to now get involved and do something. Lord, help us to be better praying people.